owner has said the coach will be back next year. You know, you never say never in this world, but it seems like he will. I'm just wondering your feelings on his return and whether you feel like he still has respect of the team.
I'm excited for it. I think Hugh really hasn't been given an opportunity yet to prove what type of a coach he is from a wins and losses standpoint. Obviously, the plan for a few years here was to try to attain the highest draft picks possible, which is what we've successfully done. But unfortunately, as that's going on, the coaches have a hard time winning any games because of, you know, the deck that they're given to play with. So I think what we've seen in this building from you is a man who's an excellent leader, a great teacher, great coach. And I think he's really excited for us to begin a new era where we're spending money in free agency. We're using our draft picks to select high players, not saving any money or any assets for the future. And we're going to basically start going all in like the other 31 NFL teams do every year and give the coaches an opportunity to improve on the win-loss record that they've had so far.
For a veteran, when you see that, and you obviously see the strategy, how tough is it for you guys when you see kind of what the plan is? Because you understand what they're trying to do, but
yeah,
it's completely different for guys,
yeah,
veteran players.
Yeah, for coaches and players, it's really tough to have to deal with that. You know, it's something that you mentally have to get over, or had to get over, hurdle-wise, for you to be able to put your best foot forward, to play your best football possible. One of the benefits of having a super young team was that I would think most of the guys on the team had no idea what the plan was. So it took some experience being in the NFL to just sort of understand what they were trying to do, what they were trying to build. But consequently, then when you don't win, those young guys are wondering why, because they feel like they're doing all the right things. But as a veteran who understands what the plan was, it's easier to understand why you are where you are.
Is there an anger as you have to almost stages of grief that you go through,
yeah,
when something like that happens?
Yeah, there was. You know, for me, it was that first off season in January, February, when we let all those veterans go, and then that was sort of the big rush where I kind of finally realized what was going on. And then you kind of go through those different stages of grief, like you mentioned. But then you realize you have a job to do, and it's your job to perform as well as you can and play and do as well as you can with what cards you've been dealt. But you still get frustrated over the years that you have guys like, you know, Joe Hayden when he got cut, and John Greco, guys that you know are, you know, some of the best players on the team, but to stick to the plan, you had to get rid of them. So it was always tough. I think some guys had a harder time buying into the plan than other people.
Does that, you have talked positively about the plan?
Well, I think when you look at it from a multi-year standpoint, if you want to give yourself the best chance to turn around a franchise that hasn't had success, and you say, we have a four-year time horizon, rather than trying to recycle in one season everything, the chances of you having success are lower than saying, this is a four-year strategy, we're going to just try to accumulate as many high picks as we can for a couple years and then play a bunch of young guys and then use all those assets in the last 2 years. At the end of 4 years, you have a much higher chance of having a successful team by using that strategy than you do trying to maximize your assets every single year and just hope that you're going to pick the right players and turn it around in one season. Because just like in the finance world, you know, the law of compounding interest works with draft picks too. If you trade a first round this year, it's worth two first rounds next year. So if you just keep compounding them for a couple years, at the end of 3 or 4 years, you've ended up with 5 or 6 first round picks instead of 3 or 4, or even more like 7 or 8 versus 3 or 4. So when you're talking about, you know, poker players, guys that believe in probability and odds, if you're willing to commit to a four-year strategy, that's going to give you the most likely chance of turning things around. And I think that's why the owner bought in. That's why the guys that were here were able to convince him of that strategy. But I think the big oversight was just how painful it is to go through 2 years of so much losing for the fans, the city, the players, the coaches. That's sort of the overlooked aspect of taking a strictly probability standpoint on turning a team around.
Wasted opportunities. There's only so many franchise quarterbacks coming through the ranks.
Well, I think that would be a subjective opinion because, like I said, you can't have the strategy without trading out of those top picks. The strategy is you get those top picks, and then you trade out of them for future picks, for more future picks, so you're compounding that interest. If you pick guys, then that's not the strategy. Then it's sort of the traditional strategy of pick the best player available every year, maximize your salary cap every single season, and hope that you've made the right decisions. But like I said, I think when the strategy was agreed upon by the upper level, they agreed that they weren't going to pick a quarterback. They agreed that it was going to be, no matter who it was. I mean, because when you look at the draft, when you look at quarterbacks, it's about a 50% hit rate, no matter who you are at the first five picks. So it's easy to think in hindsight, oh, that guy's great. But nobody really knows until he goes out and performs for a few years. And even the guys that sometimes look good at the beginning of their career turn out not to be the franchise guy that everyone thought. I mean, you look at right now, Jameis Winston. You look at Mariota. Those are two guys last year everyone was saying, hey, these are the future of the NFL. These are the next Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. And now the next year, I think this is year three for them, everyone's going, well, maybe they're not as good as we thought they were because circumstances kind of have changed over time.
How much better can this team be next year?
Well, that's what leads me to my great point, Pat. I'm glad you read my notes before this press conference. Is this team right now is set up for a long run of success starting next year. And that's why I think fans and players and coaches should be really excited, because what we've done is we've sacrificed 2 years of pain for a long-term, multiple years of gain starting next year and the following year, because if you look at our salary cap space, if you look at the number of young guys who've played and got experience right now on this team, and then you look at the number of high draft picks that we have next year and the following year, there's no reason that we can't be really, really good starting next year and the following year.
From a player perspective, there has to be a toll within the locker room, the amount of losing takes on players, whether you're a young guy or an old guy. What is the danger, though? I mean, it is historic what these last 2 years have brought. So what is that toll within a locker room, you as a player, young guys, of all of this losing, and the danger that there could be some long-term effect because of that?
I'm not convinced it's a negative toll for sure, because I think sometimes that losing can harden your resolve to turn things around, to give you an appreciation for the amount of work and effort it takes to win in the NFL. So I actually think it could be a positive for a lot of the young guys in this locker room, especially because many of those guys had nothing but success their entire athletic career, going back to when they started playing peewee football. They were always the best, and they always won everything they did. So now you come into the NFL and you realize that it takes a different level of commitment to be a good player and to have a successful team in this league. So I definitely think it can harden your resolve and your effort and really build a lot of character going through something like that. Now, certainly I think there's an argument to be made that, especially for the older guys, you can get bitter and checked out when you go through so much losing. But I think a great coach, a guy like Hugh that's a great leader, great motivator, can easily turn that around and use it as a positive moving forward.
So, Jerry, what kind of have you struck up a relationship with John Dorsey? What do you know about him? LeBron's have had a lot of draft picks for a lot of years, even before Saudi.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to hit on those picks. So, what's your
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, if you look at the draft, the best general managers in the league are probably 55% right on their draft picks. The worst are probably like 45. So really there's sort of a small margin of success and failure in drafting players. And for the most part, it's largely luck. I mean, there's some guys who've done it a little bit better over time, but you look at some of the most successful franchises, they've not really been very good at drafting. If you look at the Patriots, not very good at drafting, but they've got the right quarterback and they've got great coaches. And they've got a steady system that's been in place for a long time, and they can have great success. So I'm not convinced for sure that there's a magic bullet in drafting the right players. Now, you can certainly have a run of bad luck like we've had, and some would say that that's more than probability of just being unlucky. So certainly maybe you've had some poor people making the decisions, but specifically about John Dorsey, I mean, he's one of the most well-respected personnel men from just a pure watch film football standpoint as any GM in the NFL. And so I think the fans should definitely be excited about having him be the one that's making those selections.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say just because I am not somebody that really watches the draft process closely as an NFL player. I don't really know anything about the quarterbacks. I know there's been speculation and talk about having a couple really good quarterbacks. And I think if you look back at John Dorsey's drafting history, where he's been with Green Bay when they drafted Aaron Rodgers, even when they had Brett Favre in Kansas City when they drafted Mahomes, when they had Alex Smith, I wouldn't be surprised if we drafted a quarterback with that number one pick and then still signed a veteran guy, just because that's sort of the history of where the head man has kind of come from and the success he's had at those different programs.
How do you feel when you hear Josh Rosen say,
I guess I didn't hear the exact quote. I would love to hear. I didn't read it. Maybe I have to go pay attention.
He'd rather get drafted later to go to the right team,
yeah,
than drafted first and go to the wrong.
So it's interesting, as I digress, but the rookie wage scale that the CBA agreed upon doesn't really give you much of an incentive to be the number one pick versus, let's say, the number three or four. The money is not as much different as it used to be. And so for a quarterback, it's easier to think, I'd rather go to the right system than be the number one pick overall. But I think right now that sort of speculation, and really when it comes down to it, he's going to want to get drafted as high as he can. And I think he's going to realize once he studies this organization and where we are, that this actually could be really the right place for a young quarterback. Not at all. I mean, I think a lot of times as a player, you know what it's like going through the different media cycles and making comments that you're really not prepared to answer. And sometimes it's easy for a young kid, especially a college player, to think, yeah, I just want to go to the right place and to be concerned about coming here before you know anything about the history of this organization or the direction that we're headed.
Jimmy does or doesn't bring Hugh back, would that have any impact on whether or not you come back next year?
I don't think so. For me, my decision-making process is going to be this winter. I'm going to sit down with my family and kind of discuss where I am about continuing to play. And I think it'll come down to really, first and foremost, my health. Do I feel like I'm still playing at an elite level? And do I still love it? And so for me, I feel like when I make that decision, which will be, you know, after the season, that's really what it's going to come down to. I'm not going to make it based on, you know, who the coach is or anything like that. And I think, just to go off on that, something that I've told a lot of people that maybe I should say in this setting so everyone knows, the reason I haven't thought about it or tried to make a decision yet is because, for me, I think it's not fair to the team to sort of ponder that in season to become a distraction. You know, are you going to retire? Are you going to come back? And I don't think it's fair to myself, because in the middle of a season, you go through a range of emotions, especially when you're on IR and you're injured, you know, and then you're watching games. So sometimes you're really happy, sometimes really sad. I mean, it's a roller coaster of emotions to be in season on IR watching guys play. So I think a decision on continuing to play or not is best left in the off season when you have time to sit down and get away from it a little bit and meet with your family and come up with the best decision for yourself. I'll ask you first, Tony. What do you think? Oh, yeah. No, Joe has been a great teammate and a great friend of mine since he got here. He's one of the most well-liked players in this locker room and the NFL. And I think it's easy to say you want Joe Hayden that success. It would be great for him to win a Super Bowl. Maybe not the Steelers, but him personally. I think he's an easy guy, especially if you know him, to cheer for.
Hey, Joe, when you were were so overcome when you guys finally won that game last year.
Yeah.
To not go winless. And then, obviously, back at the same spot, even, you know, one game away from being 0-16. When you look around, it still seems like guys are excited and watch practice and guys are running around and dancing and stuff. I guess, what do you attribute that to when you hear some of the lines that went 0-16 and 0-8 say it was like a funeral every day? It seems like a pretty big difference between that and what's going on here.
Yeah, I think it's all about the culture that has been built by the head coach. You look at how Hugh is in the locker room, in the meetings. He's the same guy every single day. He brings toughness and energy to everything we do, and I think that reflects on the players in here. You know, if you have now, I don't know the Lions organization or the coaches when they were there, but you know, if you don't have that coach that can not show his emotions on a roller coaster every single day, it's easy for the players to get down. And when you're down as a player, you don't bring the same energy and enthusiasm and passion for your job and your preparation. And so I think that's personally why we're able to be close in some of these games at the end of the year. And last year win one of our last couple games is because Hugh is able to keep everybody motivated even in a tough season. You know, I've been around some teams and some coaches where things start going bad, and like you said, it's a funeral. People stop showing up, doing their extra work. They stop giving great effort in practice, and it shows on the field, and then you just end up getting blown out the last, you know, 5-6 weeks of the season, and I don't think you see that here.
So with you 1-30, has your confidence in him wavered at all that he can lead this team to be a winner?
No, it hasn't, and based on the comments that I made earlier, I think he's an excellent coach.
Joe, going back to the last one, to the plan, Joe. I mean, it sounded like you were kind of bought into it. So, I mean, did it bother you when the guy that instituted it and kind of put it together got fired?
I don't know. I guess I haven't reflected on that yet. I think the hardest part about the plan was accepting the fact that you were going to try to get high draft picks. And having to live through that for him was really tough. And knowing that the payoff is right around the corner is, you know, personally for him, I'm sure was very difficult knowing that you're about ready to turn the corner. So I guess I haven't reflected too much on that yet.